This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with Darius Johnson, who is the communications manager for Eastern Shore Land Conservancy, a nonprofit that is committed to preserving and sustaining the vibrant communities of Maryland's Eastern Shore and the lands and water that connects them. Hey, Darius.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. I always enjoy an opportunity to talk about what ESLC does. It means a lot.
So tell me a little bit about your role with ESLC.
Yeah, so my role is something that I'm, you know, really blessed and privileged for. You know, I have the opportunity to work with, you know, all of our different program areas, you know, focusing on our towns in the Eastern Shore, our land projects, you know, from the land that we preserve, and then also the coastal resiliency work as it relates to sea level rise and heavier precipitation and climate change. So really in my role, I strive just to, you know, connect our story to the people who care about preservation on the Eastern Shore, specifically as it relates to the Eastern Shore's quality of life. So I tell stories about our projects, you know, our partnerships and our people that helps fulfill our mission. And our mission that really, you know, encompasses all of our program areas. So again, going back to the land projects we do, the town-based projects we do, and the coastal resilience-based projects.
So who is Eastern Shore Land Conservancy?
So I'll say that Eastern Shore Land Conservancy, you know, we're really preservationists at its core. You know, we've been around since 1990. And you already spoke to our mission a bit, but, you know, our mission is to preserve and sustain the vibrant communities of Maryland's Eastern Shore and the lands and waters that connect them. So really, you know, we work with partners to place land under conservation easements, which helps restrict development, but also allows us to enhance the conservation values of those properties. So whether the property has endangered or threatened species, whether it's important for watershed protection as it relates to the Chesapeake Bay tributaries, or just preserving the cultural identity of the communities that we, you know, we live and work in. So that's a really, really broad, you know, program area for us. And that's something that we've been doing since the very beginning. And then I want to say in the mid 2010s, we started our Center for Towns program. So that's focusing on the preservation of the built environment, and really just how the built environment and our towns, impact the land that we're actually protecting. So we realized early on that we can protect all the land that we want, but if our towns aren't able to sustain and accommodate development, that development will trickle into the very lands that we're trying to protect. So we needed to use our resources in real estate and urban planning and such to make sure that our towns are strong and well-defined, ideally keeping, you know, those natural landscapes in the rural areas from being developed up. So that's something that we started several years ago. And then I want to say in 2014 or 2015, we started our coastal resilience program. So that's really focused on ensuring that our communities on the Eastern Shore are prepared against the impacts of climate change and sea level rise. Eastern Shore, our region is right up there with, you know, Louisiana and Florida as it relates to being at risk to the impacts of climate change. So we're at a really, really, I will say, impactful and influential position to be able to, you know, create a model for how we adapt to those climate change risks. So we're pretty broad in the work that we do, but I'll say that everyone here is extremely smart and dedicated to the work that we do and preserving quality of life on the Eastern Shore. We all love working here. Some people are from the shore, some people are from other states, but we all recognize the role that, you know, each of us plays in this field of work. And our president, Rob Etkin, he's actually a founding member of ESLC, and he's been with us ever since the founding in 1990, and we're coming up on 30 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's a real privilege to be working with somebody who's been around as long as Rob has. And he has this amazing stories about preservation wins and preservation losses on the Eastern Shore. And it is what it means for the state of our environment. So I think it's something that we all kind of gravitate to here at ESLC, and, you know, it's a part of the culture.
So who were Eastern Shore Land Conservancy supporters?
So I said that, you know, ESLC, you know, we're preservationists at our core. So our supporters are really citizen preservationists. You know, they're pretty broad in their interests. You know, we have people who are, you know, heavy soil health advocates, really into that side of preservation. We have people who are really into species and wildlife and just making sure that they're protected. We also have history enthusiasts. As you know, I'm sure you know, the Eastern Shore has a lot of, you know, a lot of history, a very deep, rich cultural heritage. So a lot of the properties that we protect, you know, we're protecting properties where there are cultural artifacts that are have been discovered or still to be discovered that tells a little bit about, you know, our origins, really in this country. And even just the buildings that we're, you know, working to preserve and, you know, assisting and consulting on as well. They all have that historical aspect to us. We have a lot of supporters who gravitate towards that. And of course, we have people who are really, you know, interested in the agricultural food side, you know, of preservation and just the region that we're in. That's one of the main things that a lot of people recognize about the Eastern Shore, farms in Ocean City, I guess you can say. So we have a lot of people who really are strong advocates for ensuring that agriculture stays strong on the Eastern Shore and that a lot of the economies that trickle off of agriculture are able to thrive as well.
So you're working on something a little bit new, right, which is the Delmarva Oasis. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Delmarva Oasis, it's a big vision and initiative for us. You know, it's our initiative to protect 50% of the Delmarva Peninsula by 2030. And we plan to do that with support and partnership of conservation-based organizations, Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia state governments, and the private sector. You know, with a big goal like this, you know, we're gonna need a lot of support. Just on the Eastern Shore alone, I know that we've protected about 65,000 acres, more than that. And I want to say that the current percentage is around 29% of being protected. So getting up to that 50% goal, you know, we're really gonna need a lot of support. And the idea of it really came from a challenge by a writer named Tony Hiss. He spoke at one of our conferences a few years ago, and he introduced the half-earth theory to us. And the half-earth theory is basically that if we protect 50% of the planet's lands and oceans, we can save 80% of the planet's species from extinction. And that species, that isn't just animals, you know, that's us considered, you know.
Yes, of course.
So it's important because, you know, he challenged us to make the Delmarva Peninsula a model for national and global efforts to save land for wildlife and people. And when you think about the Delmarva Peninsula, and you think about this Delmarva Oasis name, which Tony has coined, The peninsula really is an oasis. You know, we're right smack dab in the middle of, you know, a large concentrations of people in D.C. and Baltimore and Philadelphia and so forth. But, you know, you get onto the Eastern Shore and you just breathe easy. You know, it's all the, you know, the natural landscapes that are welcoming you, the water that's close by.
Right.
There's a look and feel of it that makes it, you know, feel like this oasis that we're calling it. So, and also, not just look and feel, but, you know, there's billions of dollars of ecological benefits that the region has and supports that relies on tourism, recreation, the fisheries and wildlife habitats for, you know, hunting and angling, and also just, you know, protecting the region's culture and heritage. So there's a lot of pieces to this Delmarva Oasis vision. But we're at a stage where we're really trying to get it out there to people, get the message out to people that we are ramping up the work that we're doing at ESLC and we're putting a call out to people who believe in this mission and vision that we have, to just continue protecting our quality of life and trying to find the right people who can help us ramp up a lot of this conservation work that we need to do. So it's going to be a really big goal, and it's something that's going to take every bit of these next 10 years that we have, slated for. But it's also a necessary goal. The timing is right for initiatives like this, where everybody in the world is starting to think more about our existence and, how we impact the world around us and others around us and what our own individual impact can be. So hopefully this Delmarva Oasis initiative can be a platform that people can latch on to and, ride on out as we all try to just improve our impact on the world.
Perfect. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. If you're listening and you want to help and you want to get involved, go to eslc.org. Maryland Viewpoints is going to come back in just a few minutes.
Let me tell you a little secret. You are getting fake electric bills. Stop being an energy victim of your utility company. The U.S. government will give you a 30% tax rebate just so you can produce your own electricity. And the state you live in may give you even more. Finding out is a free phone call away. Solar energy is every American's dream, and it's right above you every day. Cut your power bill in half with a clean solar energy system. Stop paying more than you need to for your electricity and stop paying for hidden charges. Put more money back in your pocket. Our solar hotline partners can offer you 0% down payment and 100% financing plans. Cut your electricity bill in half with solar. Call right now.
800-535-7857. 800-535-7857. 800-535-7857. That's 800-535-7857.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm your host, Meredith Marks, here with Darius Johnson with the Eastern Shore Land Conservancy, and it's eslc.org. We were just talking about the Delmarva Oasis. Now, you were talking about getting people on board. You've got another 10 years to reach that 2030 goal. And how do you want to wrangle in more people to get some more support?
Well, I've realized about preservation, conservation, it's something that everybody can connect with in a sense. Even if you're just taking a nap in a public park, that public park is likely preserved land. So by using it, you're showing that it has value in being preserved. So even on that level, you can connect to our mission. Which is to preserve and sustain, the communities of the Eastern Shore and the lands and towns that connect them. So for the Delmarva Oasis Initiative, the best thing that I think people can do if they're interested is just reach out to us and tell us why, you're interested in preserving the quality of life on the Delmarva Peninsula. What it means to you and, how you came to connect with it in the first place. We work across enough areas where we can find something that you can support, whether that's through a donation or whether that's telling your story or coming in to volunteer with us. As I mentioned, we work across lands, we work across towns, and we work across coastal resilience. So when you're thinking about creating this Delmarva Oasis and making it a reality, there's not too many areas that a person can't get involved. So I really would say the first step is, reaching out to us with an email or a phone call. And any of our staff people will be, excited to talk to you and let you know what we do and, how your interests can specifically tie to the programmatic work that we do.
So let me just tell people, again, it's eslc.org. And you can also call 410-690-4603. Lauren Halterman at extension 167. She can help with donating stock or gifts. You can give from your IRA. You can donate real estate. You can leave a legacy. You can donate stock. You can make a one-time or a reoccurring gift and be able to help this great cause and help the Delmarva Oasis and Eastern Shore Land Conservancy and all of that they're supporting and trying to do on the Eastern Shore. And do you take volunteers to help out, maybe?
Yeah, we do. So something that's interesting about our work, we actually have a person on staff who is required to go out and actually monitor the 65,000 plus acres that we have protected. So I believe every 3 years, we have to visit every property to make sure that they're actually adhering to the easement contract that we've placed on the property, and that it's actually enhancing conservation values in the way that we see fit. So with all those acres across those almost 300 properties, we definitely could use help just going out and checking out the properties, meeting with the landowners, and just making sure that things are up to standard. So that is something that we definitely use volunteers for. And it's a great job if you like to, you know, be out in the nature and see wildlife. It's great when the weather's great, I'll say that. But, you know, if there's a deadline coming up to get a property monitored and it, you know, if it's cold and rainy outside or if it's snowing, you might just have to put on the boots and, you know, put on the bib overalls and, you know, get out there. But that's something that we definitely use volunteers for. And we also hold a couple of events each year, about 3 to 4 events. And we're always looking for volunteers to help us put those on.
When is your next event?
So our next event will come up in March. I don't think it's March 23rd right now. It's not on the website yet, but it will be soon. And that event is a part of our annual planning conference. So we've had, I believe this will be our 20th annual planning conference this year. And it's usually something where we pick an issue that's really important and impactful to the region and our partners and our community members that we serve. And we just pull in regional, national, local leaders, you know, thought leaders and elected officials and, you know, business partners and so forth to discuss whatever this issue is, and hopefully push the needle towards solutions that just makes it better. So this year, our annual planning conference will actually focus on climate change. We had a separate conference last year that focused on climate change, and it was called Rise and Thrive, Creating America's Most Resilient Region. So now this climate change conference has become our annual planning conference. So it's really the flagship event that we're trying to put on this year for focusing on that area. So we're still working out, you know, what it's going to look like, what the day will look like, and who will be there. But it will essentially be focused on storytelling and, you know, solutions around solutions that have happened within the climate change arena, you know, throughout the country and around the region. And just giving, you know, the local community and business folks and you know, other organizations and just citizens a better understanding of how some of those stories and solutions will tie to what's happening right here on the Eastern Shore. And just, and, you know, at the end of the day, just making sure that we're all prepared for, you know, whatever change is going to happen.
You know, yeah, because you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
I want to talk a minute about preserving history. Okay.
Sure.
I want to talk about the smokestacks that are attached to the last remaining factory from the Phillips Company's empire. And they closed in the 1960s. And as the building stands now, its physical size and stature reminds passersby of a company legacy that would become one of the most recognized names in seafood across the world. And you actually led independent school teachers and staff from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation on a tour of the future packing house, and you wanted to, you know, show them these 90-foot tall smokestacks. And didn't you just do a restoration of the smokestacks?
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was an extensive masonry reconstruction project. We kicked that off, and I want to say in June or July, and we just finished it this past month. And it was a pretty major project. You know, we're in a time where these smokestacks that were built in the industrial age, if they haven't been, you know, tended to and, you know, repaired or, you know, may have had any maintenance done to them, most of them in pretty rough shape. and the smokestacks that we actually just helped restore in partnership with Cross Street Partners at the Black Rod of Baltimore. These smokestacks were, near condemned and almost recommended to be torn down. And that's something that we definitely didn't want to see happen because, at the end of the day, that represents, American history. And it also represents the local history, a local landmark that the people of Cambridge, Maryland, gravitate to when they think about, how they or their ancestors and so forth might have worked at this Phillips Packing Company. So we took that project on and, it was a tough process and we had to bring in, an international expert to work on it. We really couldn't find anybody else to take on those smokestacks. And I think everybody was really, really happy that everything got done without incident. And, they'll be able to stand for, hopefully the next 100 years.
That's so awesome, just to preserve that piece of history for people in Cambridge, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It was a beautiful project.
I want to read a couple of quotes from some people on solutions for homeowners. People care about the community that is immediately around them. True community building is responding with empathy to understand those that are receiving the message. Listen to meet folks where they are. The role of trusted voice is strong. Talk to flood plan managers who can help you through the process. Our goal is to get resources to the individual person and their families. And consider community-wide flood plans, not just the areas at risk, because water is going to go where it wants to go. It affects entire communities rather than those who live by water. So this changes perspectives about individual impacts and action. And that's important to talk about, Darius, because when people are buying homes or businesses on the Eastern Shore and they're worried about flooding and they're like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do this right at the water. We're going to come back. Talk to people about how there's huge risk, even though you're not right at the water.
Right. It's a challenging issue because on the Eastern Shore, we do have an abundance of low-lying waterfront properties, and it's one of those things where if you're not right up by it, you really won't consider the impacts of how the water is arising, but. When you really think about it, as the waters keep rising on those low-lying waterfront properties, the people who live at those properties are going to want somewhere to go. Some of those properties are owned by people who live somewhere else that might be a second home to them. So they might not have to worry about relocating. But the ones that do have to relocate, they're going to be seeking areas of higher ground to go to if they want to stay rooted on the Eastern Shore. We're seeing that down in Dorchester County now, where Cambridge, Maryland is. A lot of communities that, are right along, near Blackwater Wildlife Refuge and, some of these other heavily flood-prone areas, they're not ready to leave. And, right. Whether they're ready to leave or, whether they're not, we as a community need a consensus about where they can go if they want to stay on the Eastern Shore, which I'm sure most of them do. A lot of them have their family roots here. They have their working lives are rooted here. And it's a tough thing to say, I've been here for 10, 20, 30 years, and now you're telling me that these rising waters are pushing me out. It's a very sensitive issue. And, a lot of the quotes that you mentioned, a lot of them had, a mention of community in it. And personally, I think that's the thing that's needed most, community empathy and having an understanding of what others are going through near these floodplain areas, even if you aren't near that yourself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, a collective consensus about where those people can go is a lot stronger than the actual affected people seeking help themselves. We're all impacted at the end of the day.
That's so true. That is so, so true. Darius Johnson, I want to thank you for coming on here. Eastern Shore Land Conservancy, ESLC.org. Facebook.com is Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. It's eShoreLandC. and Instagram, eShoreLandC. You can make a one-time or reoccurring gift, donate stock, leave a legacy, give from your IRA, donate real estate. There's so many options. Volunteer. So definitely visit them, eslc.org. Thank you, Darius.
Yeah, thank you, Marilyn. I really appreciate you having me. Wish you happy holidays.
This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network, heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.